Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we've been considering the subject, what is scriptural marriage and family life? And I want to emphasize, what is scriptural family and marriage life? What is it going to be like? And where does it come from? From the Word of God itself. Now, I realize, and I want to talk about this a little bit today, I realize there are many, many sources for training, many, many sources for knowledge today. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of books written on the subject of the family, some by Christians, some by non-Christians. You may have some of these books even in your homes today. But I want to emphasize again and again that the Word of God itself is the main source for our knowledge, knowledge in every area of life. As far as salvation is concerned, we don't listen to men. We don't listen to tradition. We don't listen to the teachings of men. We listen to the Word of God. Someone shows up at your door. He has some books he wants to sell you from the leaders of his church or his cult, as the case may be, because many of these are nothing better than cults. They are simply false teachers who have set aside the Word of God itself. And it's very important that we not listen simply to the teachings of men, that we turn for our teaching to the Word of God itself. For instance, when people show up at your home, you don't even invite them into your home if they're simply teaching you some false teachings. Rather, you turn yourselves back to the Word of God. So I want to emphasize this again and again, whether it's salvation, whether it's direction in life, whether it's training of children, whatever it might be, we use the Word of God. Now, in this message today, I want to continue talking with you about the Word of God and what the Word of God has to say about the training of children. We began this in the last message, and I want to continue this again today. When you consider this matter of the training of children, I realize again, and I want to be fair, there are many things in life that have an influence on the life of the child. In other words, a child can be even positively trained in school. He can be positively trained by discipline in sports and in other activities of his life. But I still believe the main training comes in the home itself. In other words, I may not be athletic as a parent. I may not be able to train my child in the disciplines of sports or any such thing. But nevertheless, I am trained in the Word of God itself. And in all the basic areas of life, I can train my child. Now, today, I want to deal with some of the essential areas of life needing training. What are some of these essential areas of life? And let me suggest just a few of them in this message for today. First of all, we're training the child in the basic life attitudes this child is to have. Now, these are developed both by the examples the parents themselves set and also by clear and constant direction through consistent teaching that we give them in the home. We're teaching this child towards having correct attitudes, and we also strongly correct bad attitudes in the life of the child. So this child is developing basic life attitudes. For instance, a child might develop a very cynical attitude towards life, where he doesn't trust people, he doesn't trust life itself, he doesn't trust other people. I remember when I was working in China, and I say this very respectfully of China, but I was working up in Shanghai, China, over a period of 17 years. Many of these high school and university young people that I was working with became very cynical in their lives. In other words, I don't need anyone to tell me what to do. I'm going to do it myself. I don't want my parents. I don't want my school teachers. I don't want society. I don't want government. I don't want anyone to tell me what to do. Sometimes young people become very cynical in life. And these young people that I was dealing with there were very, very cynical. They have this attitude, I don't care what anybody thinks. I will live my own life. I will make my own decisions. I will decide the course of my own life. Leave me alone. And this, of course, is a bad attitude for a child to have as he grows up. I realize why these young people have this in China. But it's a terrible attitude for a child. So a child develops basic life attitudes. attitudes towards others, attitudes towards life itself, attitudes towards rules and regulations. Some people rebel against all rules, all regulations. They don't want anyone to lay down any rules or regulations for them. This is called rebellion, and that's exactly what it is. So we're developing training in these various areas. And then, of course, we're also training them in basic life convictions. Now, I believe in life convictions. I believe in heart convictions. I know as a preacher and as a teacher, when I'm teaching a class of students, for instance, here in the Harvest Ministries, I'm trying to emphasize to them that much of my teaching will simply be academic to them, but it will never become heart convictions with them. And my main concern in teaching students, or in being a parent, or in being a pastor, as the case might be, my main concern is what is getting into their hearts and what will become heart convictions and deep heart beliefs with them. Things that are not heart beliefs and heart convictions will soon, very soon, pass away from their lives. In other words, when they have finished a certain chapter of study or listening to the preacher or whatever it might be, they simply put these things away and they follow the convictions they do have. And so what we're trying to develop in a child is heart convictions. We don't want that child simply to obey us in a way, in other words, that pleases us. We want that child to really believe what that child is being taught. For this reason, we don't simply lay down hundreds of little rules and regulations the child has to follow. These are more like Pharisaical rules, the rules that the Pharisees might lay down in the time of the Lord Jesus. Rather, we're trying to teach this child what are the basic essentials of life, what is basic in his beliefs, what are basic in the way he should live. And we're trying to teach this child that these things must be willing, the things he is willing to live and die for. In other words, he believes these things so strongly, he'd be willing to live and die for these things if need be. He would never give up any of these convictions. And I can remember various things that I was taught as a child. I had godly parents, parents who loved the Lord Jesus, who wanted to follow him. And I remember certain things they taught me, and even today, I still follow these things at my age. The next thing that is very important in the training of a child, another area of life, has to do with moral and spiritual foundations for the life of that child. Now, we're teaching this child moral principles. What keeps a girl, what keeps a young man pure in their teenage years? We're seeing so many young people get into immorality today in life. But now we're speaking of Christians. What keeps a Christian young man or a Christian young woman pure in their lives as teenagers, when there are so many temptations around them? When their school friends, their school companions are all going another direction, when so much in life is tempting them, when so much in television and in newspapers and magazines is tempting them, what keeps them pure? The fact that spiritual and moral foundations have been laid in their lives. And as a child learns from 1 Corinthians 6:19-20, that our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit. This child learns from these two verses, for instance, that we're the property of the Lord Jesus, that if this child has trusted the Lord Jesus as his or her Savior from sin, then now this child is the property of the Lord Jesus. They belong to the Lord Jesus. They have no right to use their lives in any way that is displeasing to him. They also learn that when they come to the marriage altar, when we come to the time of the marriage ceremony, and we're ready to make pledges to each other, how important it is that we come with pure, holy lives, that a young woman can look into her husband's eyes, and can say to him, I have kept myself pure, in other words, I have never done anything immoral in my life. So where are these foundations laid? They're laid when they're children. The children learn very young what morality is all about, and how we are to keep ourselves pure. When they first become Christians, they learn who they are and what they are before God and their responsibilities before God in every way. And then, of course, another area of life is the area of self-discipline. We talked about this before, and now let me come back to it. We need to train the child in self-discipline. We need to expect this of the child. The child learns that this is part of his upbringing, so to speak, that he is going to use self-discipline in his life. He is going to control his life. And it's not just the parent or the teacher or the employer always watching over him in life, but rather he disciplines himself. That whether the parent is there or not there, whether the teacher is always watching over him or not always watching over him, this child is still going to go ahead and do what he's supposed to do. He's going to be what he should be doing. Now, for instance, we teach a child concerning walking closely with the Lord. Now, where does a child learn about these things, and what can we expect of the child? Well, we expect that after we have taught the child, and after we have supervised the child a bit in his life, the child himself will pick up the godly habits that God expects of him, the reading of God's Word daily, the daily use of prayer in his life, the daily use of obedience, keeping his heart clean before God. I'm referring now to John chapter 15, verses 1 to 10, where five different principles are laid down: keeping clean, reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God, having a close love for the Lord Jesus himself, praising and thanking and honoring him, praying, that's in verse 7, and then obedience in verse 10. In other words, the child learns, yes, I can do this myself. I will do this myself. I love the Lord Jesus, and I will exercise self-discipline. Another area of life has to do with responsibility in life. Very early, a child learns responsibility. Some children never learn it. They never learn to take on responsibility. They get to be adults, and they still don't carry responsibility. They still are very careless. People expect things of them. They don't do the things that are expected of them. You can't depend upon them at all. I think the reason is they weren't taught these things as children. When they were small children, they didn't learn to accept responsibility and accept the fact that I have responsibilities in life, and these are mine, and God expects them from me, my parents expect them from me, society expects them of me, and I will bear my own responsibilities. So I don't have to be supervised in order to do them. I'm going to bear responsibility. Another principle, another area of life that needs training, is group interaction. Now, I believe this begins in the home. When a child goes to school, he goes to preschool, he goes to kindergarten, he goes to first grade and second grade. Now, group interaction is expected of him. Some children have great difficulty with this. They simply don't interact with the group at all. And I think the reason is they weren't trained in the home to have group interaction. They weren't trained in the home to live in right relationship with other people, to cooperate with them, to work together with them, to take care for their interests as well as the interests of the child's own life. And so this child never has learned this in the home. And when he gets to school, he doesn't practice it either. And then someday, in a marriage relationship, he will continue to be very self-centered, very selfish. In a work relationship, he will be the same thing. In other words, he's not used to working with co-workers because they never learned it in their own home. And then another area of life has to do with love and concern for other people. Love and concern for other people. Now, this is also very important. You find many passages of Scripture speaking to Christians concerning love and concern for other people. For instance, if you were to look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4, you find this idea of the fact that we're not to simply seek our own interests, but we're also to have a deep concern for the interests and the problems and the needs of other people. When you look over at some of the gifts of the Spirit, you look, for instance, at Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8. You look at Ephesians chapter 4, where it speaks of the gifts of the Spirit. When you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, again speaking of the gifts of the Spirit, most of these gifts of the Spirit have to do with the concerns and the needs of other people. And this is what a child learns very early in life. and that is that we are a family. You belong now to our family. You may be the youngest child in the family. You may still be very young, but we want you to have a love and concern for other people. You're going to share with them. You're going to share not only what you are and what you have, but you're also going to share your concern and your love for them. Now, I want to stop here for today. We're going to continue this subject in the next message. But I want to emphasize again that we need to train our children in the way they should go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. May the Lord help you to be the right kind of parents in training and bringing up your children.